Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. We're going to be in our last teaching on the series of Elijah unto Elisha. So we're going to be in part four here. So far, we've discussed about how Elisha was found by Elijah at one of the darkest moments of Elijah's life, you could say, of in his ministry, when he felt like he was alone. And there was no one left in Israel who was serving God. And so God comes and visits him in this cave while he's hiding from Jezebel, sends him to find Elisha for him to train Elisha. Elisha serves Elijah and follows Elijah around at the end of Elijah's ministry. And last week we talked about how Elijah was called up into the heavens on a chariot of fire, and Elisha, who longed and desired to have a double anointing of Elijah, to have a double portion of his spirit upon him, and he was told by Elijah that if he saw him as he was pulled away into the heavens, then he would obtain that which he desired. And as he was watching Elijah get pulled into the heavens on the chariot of fire, he sees Elijah's mantle fall to the ground and he picks it up. And we ended last week with Elisha picking up his mantle and then coming to the Jordan River, the same river that him and Elijah had crossed on the way to Elijah being pulled into the heavens. And as Elijah came to that river, the water was split open and it was dried up and they walked on dry ground. So after Elisha picks up the mantle of Elijah, he comes back to the same river and he strikes the river with the mantle of Elijah, and the water splits, and he crosses the river on dry ground. So we're going to pick this up here in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Then the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him and said, 'The spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha.' And they came to meet him, and they bowed themselves to the ground before him. Then they said to him, 'Behold, now there are with your servants 50 excellent men. Please let them go and search for your master, lest the spirit of Yahweh has taken him up and cast him on some mountain or into some valley.' And he said, 'You shall not send.' But when they urged him until he was ashamed, he said, 'Send.' They sent therefore 50 men, and they searched 3 days, but did not find him. So they returned unto him while he was staying at Jericho, and he said to them, 'Did I not say to you, do not go?'" So upon Elisha witnessing Elijah being called up into the heavens, and as I said, he picked up Elijah's mantle and he strikes the river. So the sons of the prophets who were opposite Jericho, they see him. And I believe they see him hit the river with Elijah's mantle, and they see the river split. So they say unto themselves, "Surely the spirit of Elijah is upon Elisha." So they recognize now that the anointing, the spirit that Elijah had, is now upon Elisha. What they don't know and don't understand is the fact that Elijah has been called into the heavens, that Elijah is no more on the earth. And so they approach Elisha and they're like, "Hey, we have 50 excellent men here to go and search for your master," because they saw Elijah leave with Elijah, but now he's coming back and it's just Elisha. There's no Elijah. And they may have seen something happen, but they did not see and witness what Elisha saw. Because Elisha was the one who stayed close unto Elijah, who upon three times being told by Elijah to stay here, Elisha said, no, I will stay by your side until you are no longer here. So Elisha stayed with them, and he saw and witnessed what happened. But the sons of the prophets, they think that Elijah has been called up and just moved somewhere else. So they want to go and search for Elisha's master, being Elijah. Elisha knows what has transpired and happened. He's like, no, you shall not send. Because Elisha knows what's going on. He knows that the time of Elijah has expired. To go and look for Elijah would be to look unto that which is in the past. God is moving forward. He is moving on. He has moved into a new season. He is doing something different now. So the time of Elijah is up. He has been taken into the heavens. And the spirit of Elijah will return in the latter days. And we see the spirit of Elijah returned with the work of John the Baptist as well. But at that moment in time, Elijah was called into the heavens, and now it was time for the work of Elisha, for Elisha to be the prophet of Israel. So Elisha knows what's going on, and he is looking to what is happening at that moment and to that which is for the future. But the sons of the prophets are looking into that which was behind them. The sons of the prophets, though, continue to press and push upon Elisha to the point where Elisha is like, okay, well, just send them. And then they come back, and of course, they do not find Elijah. And that's when Elisha says, I told you, you shall not send them. So we have to be careful of being aware and paying attention to what is going on at this moment, and to not be like the sons of the prophets who were unaware of the fact that the time of Elijah serving as prophet of Israel was over. And now it was time for Elisha to serve as the prophet of Israel. They saw that the spirit of Elijah was on Elisha, but they did not recognize that it was the season for Elisha to be the prophet of Israel. So they go searching for that which was. And so we have to be careful about searching for that which was, because we are constantly being changed. We're constantly moving forward with him. We go through seasons like this where it is no longer his purpose. It was no longer the purpose of God for Elijah to serve as prophet over Israel. And there are times in our lives where things no longer serve a purpose for us. And we have to be willing and be able to see that and to be able to make that change and to move into that which he has called us to do. The purpose that he has for us now, the purpose at that moment was now for Elisha to be the prophet over Israel. It was the reason why when Elijah was hiding in the cave that he told Elijah to go and find Elisha, because it was for this moment, for this purpose, because he knew that this was coming. And the time that Elisha was serving as a servant unto Elijah was preparing him for this moment and for this time. And I believe that Elisha was fully aware and knew that this was coming. He knew that Elijah was going to be called up into the heavens, but he chose to stick by the side of Elijah, and he chose to follow Elijah and continue to serve Elijah until Elijah was no more. He knew what was coming. He knew what the time was. He knew what the purpose was, because his focus was upon the right thing, upon the right place. It was upon what God was doing, upon the Spirit of God. And he was focused upon God and listening to what was being done, where the sons of the prophets were not quite aware of what was transpiring or what was happening. And they were busy at this moment upon him coming back from the river, trying to search and hold on to what was. Okay. I want to go and look at another example of scripture where we see the warning of what happens when we look back, when we don't keep our eyes focused upon what's ahead of us, where he is bringing us, where he is moving us to. But our eyes lead the focus upon what is ahead and what is before us. And we stop and we look at that which is behind us. We tend to gravitate to that which is behind us because we know it. We're comfortable with it. We've been there. But that which is in the future is something that we don't know. It's something that we are not always very comfortable with. So our tendency is to want to hunker down and stay where we're at, to embrace that which was, because that's what we knew. That's what we were comfortable with. So let's look at Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16. But he hesitated, so the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of Yahweh was upon him. And they brought him out and put him outside the city. Now it happened as they brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, lest you be swept away." So this is the story of when Lot is in Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, God is bringing judgment upon these cities for the wickedness that is occurring in these cities, okay? So God is going in there and he sends his angels on his behalf. He sends these two men inside the city to rescue Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah before he brings judgment upon those towns. The book of Peter tells us that righteous Lot's soul was tormented while living in Sodom and Gomorrah. But yet, what's very interesting here in this passage as we read it, so scripture is telling us that Lot was tortured, that the righteous Lot was tortured while living in these wicked cities, that when the men come to rescue him, him and his family hesitate upon leaving the city. Why? Because even though his soul was being tormented by the wickedness that was around him, there was something about living there that provided comfort unto Lot that caused him to want to stay there, that he did not want to leave. And the men had to seize his hand and his wife's hands and the hands of his daughters to bring them out of the city. And it was by the compassion of God that even though they did not seem to want to leave the city, that he still pulled them out of the city. So we have to be careful with growing comfortable with where we are. We have to be careful of not falling into this trap that Lot was in, so that when God comes to rescue him out of the city and is telling him, you need to leave, you need to move, he doesn't want to move. He doesn't want to leave. But by the compassion of God, God pulls him out of the city. And it shows us the love that God has for us, that he works with us. And he will show us the same love and compassion that he had for Lot, that he will pull us out of those areas in our life where we are comfortable, in a place where we do not belong, where we do not need to be. He will come and he'll grab us by the hand, and he will pull us to the place where he wants us to be, to leave behind that which is behind us and to go into that which is in the future, that which is ahead, that which he has prepared for us. But as they are pulled out of the city and as they are leaving the city, Lot's wife makes a fatal mistake. And we see that here in verse 26. It says, then his wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. So she did not want to leave the city. She is brought out of the city. She is pulled out of the city. And as she is on her way to where God is bringing them, her desire for that which is behind her overwhelms her. By her stopping and looking behind her, shows that her desire was not to go where God was bringing them, was not to go where God was rescuing them. She is showing that she didn't want to be rescued, but her soul, her heart desired to be in Sodom and Gomorrah. She didn't want to leave. So because her soul and her heart desired to be there and was desiring that which was in the past, that which was behind her, she turns into a pillar of salt. She desired the wickedness that was behind her instead of the righteous place that God was bringing them to, that he was rescuing them to. So we have to be careful about longing and desiring that which is behind us, that which he has pulled us from. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not being conformed to the former lust, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your conduct. So this is Peter warning us, don't be conformed to the former lust, the former ways. And this isn't always just about obvious outright sin, because we're going to see as we go on in this that we are called to be transformed each and every single day. We are being changed each and every single day. We are growing in our faith each and every day. We are growing in our walk with him. Each and every day, we are being called to be more like him each and every single day, to where our behavior reflects him more each and every day. where our thoughts align with his thoughts each and every day, where our desires align with his each and every day. The things that we long and desire for, that we love, match his. Each and every day, we love righteousness more than we love the former lust that we used to walk in. So we have to be careful not to be conformed to those former behaviors. We have to be careful not to look back to our former behaviors, not to embrace our former behaviors because they were comfortable or it's what we knew. But every day we're moving forward. We're going into what he has for us as we're being transformed each day. The sons of the prophets were looking for that which was behind instead of that which was happening today. And it's the same with us, looking to what he has for us today, not in that which is in the past. Not clinging and desiring what we had in the past, because that's what Lot's wife did. She clung to and desired to have that which was in the past. And if we want to find God, if we want to hear his word, if we want to hear what he is saying and what he is speaking, we got to be tapped into what is going on now and not looking at what has happened in the past. The sons of the prophets were looking for the prophet of the past instead of the prophet who is in front of them. What is God saying to you today? Not so much what did God tell you 5 years ago. Those are good things. They taught us, they brought us, but each and every day we should be hearing his word and being taught by him each and every day, moving forward with him each and every day. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is brought to an end in Messiah. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. This is referring to when Moses would go up on the mountain. The glory of the Lord would be upon Moses and his face would shine. And when he would come down from that mountain, his face shone with the glory of the Lord upon him. And he would read the law which was given unto him, unto Israel. But he placed a veil over his face so they would not see that the glory was fading away from his face. Now we who believe in the Lord, who have turned to the Lord, whenever a person turns to the Lord, now when we look at the words that Moses was reading unto Israel, we look at them without the veil. We can see the glory. The glory that was shining on the face of Moses when he first came down the mountain, we see the glory with an unveiled face. But unlike Moses, where the glory faded and would come to an end, the glory is not fading. It is not ending. It's there. And so as we behold the glory of the Lord, reading the words that Moses wrote, reading the word as the words that God gave us in all of Scripture, we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. What is the image we're transformed into? We are beholding the glory of the Lord by looking into His word. It is a mirror. And so we are being changed into the image of His word, which is a representation of who He is. His word teaches us who He is, His character, what He loves, what He hates, what He desires, His character, how He acts, how He behaves. And so we, by beholding His word and beholding the glory of His word, are transformed into His likeness from glory to glory. So every time we come and we look at His word, we are to be changed from glory unto glory. Not looking for the experience that we had a year ago. Not looking for something that happened 2 years ago or a month ago. But looking for what God is doing in us now. Looking to what He is teaching us now. What is He transforming us into? If our focus is upon that in the past, then we will align to that which is in the past. We will be conformed unto that which is in the past. But if our focus is upon Him and upon what He's doing now and what He's doing in the future, then we will be transformed into that image. We will bear that image and we will walk in that. What we're looking at is going to dictate how we act. It's going to dictate what we look like. It's going to dictate what we mirror. If we're looking at the past, we're going to mirror our past. If we're looking at the glory that is ahead, then we're going to mirror the glory that is ahead. And that is what Elisha did as he came across the river. He knew that it was a new time and a new season. He was fully aware of what God was doing and what was happening. And he knew to send out the 50 men was a waste of time because he knew that they would not find Elijah because they knew, he knew where Elijah was because he had been focused upon the right thing. He had been looking upon that which was spiritual and not looking upon that which was in the natural. And that's where the sons of the prophets were. They didn't see what was happening in the spirit. Elisha was focused. And because he was focused, he wasn't caught up in the distractions that were going on around him. And Elisha was focused upon the task that he was given to do. And that's what he wanted to do, was to go and do the work that God had called him to do, to be the prophet of Israel, to serve Israel as the mouthpiece of God. And it was through the years of serving Elijah as a prophet that showed that Elisha was ready to serve Israel as the mouthpiece of God, that he would be faithful. He could be trusted to do just that. And I think it also points to the importance of why Elisha stuck with Elijah. Had Elisha listened to Elijah when he told him to stay here, How does he respond? If he had stayed there, how would Elisha respond if people came saying, we need to go look for your master Elijah? He's nowhere to be found. But because Elisha did that which he was supposed to do, he stuck by Elijah. And so because he stuck by Elijah, he was able to receive the mantle, receive the double anointing of Elijah. He saw what the Spirit of God was doing in the earth at that moment in time. And he was able to go and move into that next level of glory, the next plan and purpose for what God was doing. Our walk with him is ever changing. It does not stay stagnant. We are moving and being transformed to be more like him each and every day. And as we go down the journey of being more like him each and every single day, sometimes that which he has called us to do will evolve as well. It will change. There will be seasons in which he calls us to do one thing, and then there will be seasons where he calls us to do something different. And we have to be willing and able to hear his voice and to know when it's time to move into that next season and to not stay in that which is comfortable, that which we have known, holding on to the past instead of being moved into that and where he is bringing us, to that which he has for us. Elijah was a very good prophet, a very righteous prophet, but he is taken away and he is replaced by a man who was humble and faithful and hungry enough to ask for a double anointing of the spirit of Elijah. So now they have a prophet and Elisha who has double the anointing of Elijah. Change is for the good. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.